Good evening. It's a blessing to be here. And I'm just here to share with you some of the studies that we've had and listening to some of the things that we've encountered in this life. And we just pray, trust, and hope what I'm going to share with you tonight would be of an encouragement to you and an enlightenment to really continue to be a student of God's word and God's will. Because that as we travel through our country and our land and we visit other congregations, we find that there's a great lacking for hungering and thirsting after the word and the will of God. And to be associated with a group of brethren here at this congregation at Fair Park, it's really truly a blessing. We've come a long way. I remember coming here in 2003. I think it was about March, somewhere in that time. And I've thoroughly been blessed by the grace of God to continue to move through stage and stage with many of the different challenges that I've had and all the different things that I've was designed to beset me, but by the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit and continuing to dip myself into the blood that come from that fountain that flows free, that he's allowed us to get to this point. So I'm going to start off my sermon by, I said that I was going to always do this from now on out, no matter where I preach, no matter what I know about the people that I see sitting in front of me. But I'm going to always do this because you never can tell what's going on in someone's heart or somebody's mind. I said that I would always say this before and after my sermons. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, you are lost. If you have obeyed and are not walking according to the truth of God's word, you are lost. And then I give the same prescriptions. That we come by hearing, Romans 10, 17. The truth of God's word, do you really believe it? Do you understand it? And are you committed to it? Well, if you believe it, you must have faith because Hebrews 11, 6 says, he that cometh to God must come to him. And he said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Senior moment. And then I go through the rest of them. That's what I said that I would always do from now on out. Because you never can tell who's sitting out there in the front. But now, I'm going to share a sermon with you that I heard. But first, I'm going to give you a little background about the brother who I heard this this sermon about. I believe Brother Al have heard about him. This guy's name, Brother Shelton T.W. Gibbs III. Most brethren love this guy. And I don't know if he's been in this area or not, but let me give you a little background on it. Brother Gibbs is a very educated man. Very educated. Yeah, I think he had a master's, may have a PhD, but I know he's very educated. His wife is in education. He's been on the board of Southwestern Christian College and a few other places. But in 1981, he had a congregation out there that's better known as the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ in Richardson, Texas, that it started off with about 140 members in 1981. But today, they have over 2,000. I often wonder sometimes when a congregation get a certain size, when is and how would the minister get a chance to have a relationship with each and every person? But he preached a sermon that I thought was kind of shooting at people that, like us, the ones who were more firmly convicted to God's word and God's will. I'm going to give you the scriptures that he gave tonight. He says, first of all, our background is going to be John the 20th chapter. We're going to read that right quick because this sermon is really a long sermon. I don't know why I always write long sermons and then have to say it until y'all in 10 minutes. But hey, maybe I might have to learn one day. But let's go to John, the 20th chapter, verses 19, so I can give you some background. I don't want to do him any injustice. But for the people that he spoke to and the group that he spoke to them, they was excited. Oh, yes. But when you are a Bible student, you want an individual to go just a little bit further. Just a little bit farther. So in John, the 20th chapter, I want to start reading in verse 19, where it says, this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, the same day, same morning. And then this part happened in that afternoon, because it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, for the disciples was assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, and had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Only we know that there was only 10 of them at that particular time who was there. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But verse 21 is where his concentration was, and his title come from this, where it says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, it's a bunch of extraneous parts that I won't get into. I'm just going to get to the meat of the portion of the scripture that he used that caught my attention at the time he was preaching. These are the scriptures that he used. John 3:17, Luke 19:10, John 10:10, John 12:47, and John 18:37. I'll give them to you again. Now, we know that there are change agents all throughout this world. They want us to leave them alone. When I say us, it's those of us who are, according to John 4:23 and John 4:24, who realize that God wants true worshipers to worship him. Because God is a spirit, and those of us who are true worshipers know that we have to worship him in spirit and truth. As it was so stated eloquently in our lessons this morning, that's based on our attitude, based on the truth of God's word, according to the big S, as revealed by the Holy Spirit. The revealer who reveals unto us as we study to show ourselves approved unto him what we should be doing and how we should walk, how we should conduct ourselves from the perfect law of liberty. In 2 Timothy 4, I remind you what the word says. 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 1. Maybe one day I'll be eloquent enough to just quote it, but I like to read it because I want us to always trust in the word of God and the will of God and stick close to it, because my memory might be flawed and one word can change the whole meaning of the whole statement. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Well, now I'll say this, that he pointed out and laid a great foundation. Based on that, he says, now we must know something about the sender. We know Christ is the sender who sent out the apostles, right? But then he applied it to us. He said that we are the ones that are being sent now. Well, I agree with that because Matthew 28:19 says what? Let's turn over there and read it right quick. I could quote it, but I want us to read it. And in order to understand this admonition of Matthew 28:18, and it, where it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And here it is. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is our evangelistic thrust and call, for that once we are saved, is to save each and every person that we come in contact with. Now, if you can't speak their language, forget it, because you know you're going to need an interpreter. But yet and still, the gospel is for all men everywhere. Now, before you and I get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at the end, we know that 4:1, 21:1, we understand that the principle of the fact and the matter is that only reason we're here because we understand who he is. So we know something about the sender who is sending us. We must know his characteristics. But the reason I gave you these scriptures here, he says in his study, since he was a specialist in the life of Christ at Southwestern Christian College, he come to the conclusion that this is what Jesus was sent to do. He says in John 3:17, let's read that. I want you to understand something. John 3:17. And I'm going to read all of them off. And then I'll break them down to you. We know it very well. So just pause with me just for a moment. John 3:17 says this. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He says, well, I know that Jesus was sent not to condemn. Well, we all know that. But I'm going to make the point very rapidly after I get the other one so you can understand what's coming out. John 19:10. We know he says that Jesus was sent to seek and to save the lost. So we're supposed to be good news to everybody to seek and save the lost. John 10:10, that we have a life that we give unto them, the good news, so that they'll know that they might have life and have it more abundantly. In John 12:47, he says that Jesus came not to judge the world. We know that. In John 18:37, we know that it says that the one he pointed out was that Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. Now then, when he came back, after he broke that down, then he started his preaching. Now, I'm going to tell you, very, very eloquent man, very well-spoken. I tell you, I wouldn't mind if I was as sharp as he was, but then as dedicated as I am. Do y'all get what I just said? I don't think I have 2,000, though, not preaching the pure, simple gospel, because people don't want to hear that. Y'all know that, just like I do. He said, Jesus did not come to condemn, so who are you to condemn people? I went like, uh-oh. I said, I was on getting ready to enjoy this thing. I said, I think he's talking to me. I'm serious. That's what I think. But I said to myself, I said, okay, hold on. Let me go and research this thing. I said, okay, stop. Wait a minute. Let's read what verse 18 and 19 has to say. I told y'all, we're just going to skim a little bit of this because I can't give you this whole sermon. I wrote a lesson. I just got down and started writing, and I wrote a whole lesson. Maybe the brother let me bring it to y'all one Sunday morning. I don't know, but I tell you. Verse 18 says, we understand. I'm going to read it from 16 through 19. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's why I took issue, because he stopped right there. Brother, I even went further, brother, and broke down the definitions and the Greek words and stuff, but I'm not getting that tonight. I'm not getting into that. See, condemnation happened when the sin started in the garden. Sin is the condemnation. He didn't come to condemn nobody, but he came to raise us up. But just because I say to you, or one of us say to you, that brethren, you all should have a better attitude, a more perfect attitude, a more spiritual approach, and more reverence for God's word and God's will, instead of taking careless liberties as you do, now we're condemning folk, because we want to have respect for the God that we serve. You know, God gives us commandments. Now, he didn't give us those commandments to punish us. He gave us those commandments because he knows how to keep us walking right before him. See, it's not the commandment that we're obeying, but the thing about it is that we know who gave us the commandment. He loved us, so we should love him, because he cares for us and he's looking out on our behalf. So yes, we obey the commandment because we love the giver of the commandment. Amen? Now. I'm about to get started, but I should just be getting ready to shut down because, like I said, I put in here that I'd agree with some of the scriptural findings as to how being the good news by the life that we live and how we deal with the lost and the erring souls, yeah. But I said I wanted to go a step further. Well, I just went a step further because don't stop there and say one thing, because I may not be like the rest of your audience, emotional. I may know some word that wants me to go further. And it reminds me of where I should walk. And when he stopped there and I looked, I said, wait a minute, that he's doing that injustice. In my mind, he did it a great injustice, because he was trying to justify the liberty that they take in their ministries and in their service to the Lord and in their beliefs. And I said, wait a minute, I'm just a little finite compared to this man, so who am I to question who he is? I said, I'm a servant of God who believe in righteousness and truth. That's who I am. And I'm going to stand up for the truth. No matter how many, I may be outnumbered by, as that word, demons, or people who are not walking in accordance to God's word or God's will and have no sanctity or respect for the Creator who created us. I know I'm the clay. I'm not the potter. I know my position in life. Just a little bit further. Just a little bit further. We have realized that Jesus is the Word. So anytime we talk about the Word, we're talking about Jesus. God has spelled that out. And bless his holy name. It's just that we have to understand it. We know that he is the light which shineth in darkness. That means that he's the truth and the righteousness that dispel the evil and unrighteousness that we as rebellious peoples practice. Life gives us illumination, enabling one to see clearly that Christ shines through all the darkness of sin that and keeps us walking in that straight and narrow instead of that broad way and that wide gate. Now, let me just give a brevity of 1910. Let me turn to my other notes that I made on him, but I'm skipping a whole bunch of stuff. Because I have so much written down here, I tell you, it'd probably take me 2 days to give it to you. I just got carried away. In 1910, it says, we must seek and save. In Matthew 28:19, we went through there. I like to go to Galatians 3:1, where it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Brother Al, you came up in my mind. So I hit that one and I said, you know, yeah, who has bewitched you, O foolish people at this congregation who don't know God's word and God's will? And when someone is trying to help you to understand God's word and God's will, you want to vilify and condemn them. Yeah, I open my big mouth sometimes in places and people don't appreciate it. And of course, you know, I just part of the work. Might even get put in a dungeon every now and then. Jeremiah did. You understand what I'm saying? O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? That's what we want people to do. Obey the truth. See, God doesn't permit this group of Christians to live their life any kind of way. Shacking, having girlfriends and boyfriends and doing things the way they want to. Because God has specified our way of life and our way of living. Now, I know in the past we all have had problems with this. I know some people say, well, you're just too old. Well, look, man, let me tell you something. If you can live to get old enough to understand what truth is, and if somebody old enough trying to share it with you while you're young, please listen. Because I would to God that I had somebody who would talk to me at that time when I was young. Man, look at the mistakes I wouldn't have made. Amen? I like Acts 8 on this hymn, though, 1910. Let's go with Simon, is who we're going to talk about. I just rip it in brevity. You know, Simon, you know, when he was obeyed the gospel, when Philip was doing the preaching up there, then the apostles came down and they were laying hands on the folks and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. We know about that. And we see his misconception. A lot of people want to get into the church for the wrong reason. And they get in the misconception of the fact that he wanted the power of the Holy Spirit. So when he told him he wanted to buy it, told him, say, he was in the gall of bitterness. You don't have a part or a lot in this. And you repent of this, thy wickedness. That's what a lot of these brethren need to do. Because the way they're seeking and saving is not the way God would have us to do it. Because really, you just got a bunch of wet devils or demons, whatever you want to call them. Because they're not saved. Someone told me one day, say, you criticize the folks as if they're not saved. I said, I'm not saying that. I said, you're not listening to me. I said, you have to understand scripture to understand where I'm coming from. But if you try to reason with your human mind, you'll never understand where I'm coming from. The scripture is for everybody when we do it the way God would have us to do it. Let me hit a couple of more because time is wrapping up and I know it's time for us to go. It's been a long day. Well, in John 10:10, we have life and we have it more abundantly. I says, Matthew 6:33 answers that. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. Never brought that up now in time. You know? Then, like I said, he hit this morning, Matthew 6:24. You can't love God and mammon. Still got people got conflicting mentalities when it comes to that. Then John 12:47. He come not to judge. No, he didn't. Verse 48 answers that, brothers. This next verse right over. The next verse. I said, now, why would you just stop there, my brother? You're supposed to be an eloquent preacher. I said, now, you and I can fight all day long, but they're going to say you right. And they're going, All these 600, well, no, that day he was preaching, there was 900 and some people in there. And I said, all them 900 people going to agree with you, and it's going to be 900 and some against me one. So I know I was going to get beat down, but I still was going to be standing up for the Lord. So John 12:48 answers for John 12:47. Because he says right here, and if any man hears not my words and believe not, hears my word and believe not, I judge him not. Jesus was in the flesh. That wasn't a moment of judgment. He was sent to be our Savior, to put on flesh. John 1:14, that word took on flesh. And when it took on the flesh, he said he came that he might do what? Condemn sin in the flesh. That was the reason he was here. So that's why we can understand perspective. Not subjective, but perspective. Making an objective reasoning based on what the word teaches. All right? Through book, command, example, inferences. I don't understand this. But yet and still, eloquent, educated. Woo! 2,000 plus, I see why. But verse 48 says, well, in the verse, it says, I came not to judge this world, the world, but to save the world. His emphasis was, I came not to judge, not to judge, not to judge. Well, 48 says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, which is Jesus, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And while he was alive, that was not going to be the last day. Perspective. I don't know anything more than anybody, but perspective. I'm just a lowly servant trying to get to heaven, the trials and tribulations, just like Paul. You know what? Like I said, this sermon is too much. I just want to share that with you. One more little point I want to share with you, though, is that I got to do the 1837. To bear witness to the truth. I'm just going to say this in a nutshell. My life and your life is what bears witness to the truth by how obedient we are to what God's word is talking about. I will read this to you, though, in my conclusion. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter. I share that with you because my time is far spent. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. There's so many different scriptures I had in here, man. It should be a book instead of a lesson. Because I get carried away, brother. I really do. I get carried away when I get a little myth about when people don't stand up for the word of God. Maybe I'm not the best to be standing up telling you about this, but if you just tell me where I need improvement, because I'm ready to improve every chance I get, no matter how young you are. Very few people older than I am, but you know what I'm talking about. I can listen and learn from everybody, especially when they stand on truth. All right? 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Paul says this. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness of the gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am base among you, but being absent, am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence. Wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. In other words, we being self-righteous. That's what they want to call us, a self-righteous group. This is one of the allegations they were making against Paul. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. Paul explaining now. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. How? When your obedience is fulfilled. To bear witness to the truth. I just gave you that in a nutshell. But honestly, there's a whole bunch of scriptures I didn't give you. Because I knew I couldn't do it. Like I said, brothers and sisters, I get carried away. Now, as I stated, always do this. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, you're lost. If you have obeyed and are not walking according to the truth of God's word, you are lost. That's no in-between. Revelation 3:16, Jesus said, I would that you was cold or would you was hot. But since you are lukewarm, which means that you're in the middle, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I'm not trying to make a judgment, but I would say, they're saying that based on my understanding of scriptures, those lukewarm Christians, the Lord will spew them out of his mouth because they're not either cold nor hot for him. Lord, have mercy on change agents, people who are changing God's word and God's will to fit themselves instead of to bring glory and honor to the great God that we serve. You've heard the gospel. You've heard God's word and God's will. You believe it? Take the appropriate steps to do those things that are right into your heart, into your life. And then, you walk contrary to it, make amends. God is always ready to receive us. You know, I heard this, that if you go out here in the road and you make a U-turn, the police will give you a ticket. But the Lord is the only somebody that I know that allow you to make a U-turn so you can go the right way and get back with him. So make the proper turns today as we have opportunity to stand. And this is your opportunity now as we send the invitation. Hassan. I won't be a thousand.